Welcome, City Council. 5 o'clock work session on the budget. And this is, goodness gracious, it's November 7th, 2016. Our Finance Director, Sirka, perhaps you want to lead us in discussion? Or you got the whole staff available to help you out along the way.
Yes. Okay, you've got packets in front of you with all the colored paper. I just want, these are the same decision cards in a little different order. So I just want to, there's a key, and I'm hoping this is very obvious. Current expense, the very front page, green. Your packet of paper, green. So that's all current expense. On your second page, solid waste, gray. Your packet of paper, gray. Goes with that. Water, sewer, yellow. Your packet of paper, yellow. So that's good. Keep everything in order.
So you just chose those colors off the top of your head?
I did.
What was the bold one?
So we're going to start out with, I think, one, I want to let you know that the revenues and expenditures right now are kind of a moving target. They're preliminary numbers. And from last time, I believe we had like $190,000 available for the decision cards. It has now dropped down to $160,000. So just keep that in mind. And that's without putting anything into reserve.
Oh, okay. So including the $100 you were going to put in reserve.
So right. Right. So now it's at about $160,000. So thought about, but I think we should start out with the parks. And kind of get that out of the way, hopefully, today.
Yeah.
And so if you take your green packet, and this is going to be easy because there is a white piece of paper hiding in there, CE12.
You get a prize for finding the white piece.
And I might have Mr. Young go over some of this.
Great.
Yeah. And I guess if anyone wants to look, I put together the white sheet, so I think...
We know you did.
Yeah. It was an attempt to try to come up with what might be a beginning point for the discussion of parks. We do want to try to get the park discussion done first, probably because it's the biggest, I think, decision we have to make insofar as staffing and equipment. It really kind of changes the path forward for the city. So I think for that reason alone, it's a critical thing to try to get it sooner rather than later. And secondly, it can be rather expensive. So depending on what configuration you're comfortable moving forward with parks, that will have a direct effect as to how much revenue is left for the other decision cards. So for both operational purposes and financial reasons, we wanted to try to focus tonight's attention on parks. To the extent that we can get past that, then we hope to maybe go into some of the other decision cards. So you probably have not had a chance to look at this, but I'll try to run through it. If you get your attention to the bold, over on the top right, you can see in the bold I put together an overview of the modifications, and that is adding one dedicated parks laborer, which would increase the focus of folks. It would actually get someone, because remember, parks laborers cannot work in public works, but public works laborers can work in parks. So if we actually put a parks laborer, we are dedicating 100% of that person's attention 12 months out of the year to parks, because by contract they're not allowed to work in anything else but parks. So that was in there to try to get some focused, dedicated, long-term effort. The second one is add a new public works laborer. And that has two benefits in my mind. One is, right now we take public work workers and send them to the parks as needed. What we would do is, the public works laborer is a much lower rate because it's an entry-level position. So by sending the public works laborer to augment the parks instead of a public works worker, you get the same amount of hourly effort but at a lower cost. The second advantage is that we're actually, by hiring a public works laborer, we're beginning that process of bringing in some younger workforce to eventually get trained up, get certified to become full public works workers that will replace our what is now our aging workforce in the public works department. So we're adding two new people, one to give focus to parks, one to lower the cost of parks, and also to provide some more backfill for public works. Number three, the contract to park maintenance that is contract out to a private individual like we do for the our group for the library and the police department, the Riverwalk and Griffintown. This will reduce, this will have two effects. One is it will have a dedicated professional effort on those two parks, which are probably the two most visible parks we have. Secondly, it lowers the overall workload of the parks department. So they're able to not only have perhaps a little bit more people, but their focus would not have to be, they would not have to expend energy at the Riverwalk in Griffintown and be able to focus on other things. The fourth is to actually increase the parks maintenance budget. Right now we have $14,000 in the parks budget that is just for miscellaneous. You replace a slide, you paint the picnic tables, whatever it might be. One of the things we saw during the TurTap's audit is that they'd like to see some of that stuff kind of kicked up, a little more maintenance. So this would add $16,000, bringing our miscellaneous parks maintenance budget from $14,000 to $30,000. Number five is actually allocate some money to the Park Recreation Trails Advisory Board. They would not be able to spend this money any way they want. They're an advisory board, but they would have a $5,000 budget that they could suggest and recommend and work through the existing public works department to decide how best to spend it. But they would actually have some money to do something with what they hope to do.
How much do they currently have?
Right now they are, unlike a lot of advisory folks, great on advice. Thank you very much. We don't have any money.
Right.
So there's that frustration level that I think is experienced in a lot of. And so, and lastly is the idea of actually programming about 20% of Riley's time to actually work with the PERTAB and with Public Works to actually augment and maybe even increase our recreational, social kind of programs. And actually, Riley has come up with three or four ideas already as to things we could do to kind of help increase community involvement in the parks and kind of build community. So that's the overview. In the top left, you'll see our current parks budget in the box. You can see that what we spend for salaries, what we spend for benefits. The salaries includes $25,000 for summer help and $8,500 for tour guides. And then we have supplies and other. And then for this year, in 2006, we had $46,000 of capital. That was for what we thought we were going to do with the field house bathroom. So that was a one-time only expense. So that we currently have just shy of $500,000 in our current budget.
Councilmember Watson.
Up here in the second box, you have the public works laborer is $70,000, but down here you have salary and benefits for public works laborers $21,000.
Right. I'll get down to here because that's as far as the parks as opposed to public works. In the second bold box, you can see add one public works laborer, and the public works laborer, you can see that if you follow the arrow. Thank you. We're here all night.
Honestly.
If you follow the arrow, from the $70,000, you can see that the public works laborer will spend about, this is a budget, about 15% of their time in parks, 15% of their time in streets, which equates to $21,000. So the cost to the current expense fund of hiring a public works laborer would be about $21,000. The remainder of their wages would go into water, sewer, storm. They would be out doing other utility work that public works does. The second one is at a parks laborer, and you can see that just by dedicating one full-time equivalent parks laborer versus a public works worker, we save $10,000 just on their wages. So you can see that there's about a $10,000 savings there. Contract on the maintenance of Griffintown, add the new money for the maintenance budget, and provide new funds to per town. So the third box down to the left, you can see the resulting parks budget. The salaries, which is the 199 from above with 3% increase, including the summer help and tour guides. Benefits from above, which is 3% above. The new salary benefits for the parks laborer, 100% in parks. The new salary benefits for the public works laborer, $21,000. And then we bring in that cost savings from using a public works laborer versus a public works worker. And then we reduce public works effort because the parks laborer will be replacing some of the labor that's currently done by more expensive public works workers. So that comes out to 363. You can see the supplies and other increased maintenance budget of at 16,000. The contracting for 15, per tab for 5. I put 0 for capital expenditures because remember that was a one-time only, the 46,000 for the field house. So we come up with $608,000. So $608,000 would be the new budget down at the bottom now, less the old budget. So we need to find $109,000. One way to do that is to use the bank property tax, which I know it's a little bit less than this, but it's about $60,000, and then use some of our other excess cash for $49,000. The advantage of using the bank property tax is that it is sustainable. It's something that's going to come in every single year. It's not something like sales tax that's subject to economic fluctuations. It's something that if we decide to go down this path, we coming up with about, you know, two-thirds of the financing right there. The other cash, the $49,000, would come out of potentially that $100,000 that was slated to go into reserve if you did not want to put those monies into reserves. So this is just one concept. One thing it does not do, and I know this was brought up before, this does not have any internal promotions to provide to bring one of our park workers to like a park superintendent or a park supervisor. This would still keep the supervisory aspects of our parks with public works. I've not heard that we've had any issues with the supervisory aspects of our parks department. I really would like to fill it in with workers rather than supervisors, and realizing that if we continue to grow this operation into the future, at some point, it will probably need its own dedicated supervision. But right now, this would keep the supervision levels the same they are right now and simply give more people, more budget for maintenance, and then more budget for repairs, and also give the per tab some budget to consider some of the things that they may come up with.
Council, I know you may have some questions. I just want to say a couple things. Met with staff on Thursday or Friday after committee with Riley, with Kevin, and I know they heard you. They listened very carefully to your concerns and interests and desires on parks, and I think this is just another idea for you guys to toss around. This is something I think staff feels that we can manage well at this point in our finances and with the resources that we have. So maybe this could be a starting point for you to discuss, and who would like to go first? Council member, parks and boards person, Rebecca Saar, please.
This totally misses the point of my decision card, which is creating that supervisory position of some kind. I think that's the biggest thing that we lack. So I'm not sure. To me, this doesn't really do much. You're just putting in more labor. You keep changing my decision cards the whole way.
Your decision card's still here, isn't it? Still, the original one's still there?
No.
No?
Oh. I don't think so. No.
Yeah. Well, hopefully we'll be able to refer back to the original.
So that's, in my opinion, the biggest need that we have is somebody who is in a supervisory position of some kind, whether it's a park director or a park supervisor or however we want to structure it. But that's the biggest thing we lack right now, somebody who can organize volunteers, somebody who can make decisions, somebody who can work with the parks board, somebody who can say, yes, I can give you $500 for this volunteer project that you're doing, or, hey, don't do that, how about this? You know, we need that. That's what we need. This does not solve that problem.
Councilmember Goodrich.
In a way, I like the idea of the contract maintenance, but my own personal experience in the real world, contracting out landscaping services has always been what they say they're going to do, and what you really get is you end up saying, well, we'll mow, blow, and go for this amount of money. But if you want that bush trimmed, that's an extra. You want that weed pulled out of that flower bed, that's an extra. It seems like everything that they want to do outside of mowing and things always seem to be an extra charge. And even though you try to put things into the contract, say, yeah, will you provide this or whatever, some of the big companies here in Whatcom County I've dealt with, and they're all were the same. You know, everything was seemed to be an extra charge.
Yeah. Could we hear from Seth? Would you contract landscaping?
This number is kind of an educated guess based on what we pay for the police department and the library. We would need to come up with a rather specific scope of work that would I think hopefully detail out that, yeah, includes everything that one would normally assume when you say maintain the park.
But staff, how has the experience been with our landscape with police department and the library?
You'd have to defer to the chief on the police department landscaping maintenance, as I don't have a whole lot of direct interaction with that one. But our experience with the library has been good. I think that the experience with the parking lot, we've got when we're doing the kind of mitigation site that's out back, and then maintaining the park or the library grounds, and I think that all of that is done to a pretty high standard. I think that our parking lot looks good, and I think the library looks good.
Councilmember Goodrich, the point is there needs to be accountability supervision if it's done. People need to do what they say they're going to do.
Well, I just know, like I said, you know, dealing with the facilities I've dealt with, and you know, the things that. Unless you're very, very specific in your contract of what you really expect them to do, everything would seem to be an extra that we asked. You know, we needed some trees trimmed. That's an extra charge. You know, you want your bushes trimmed away from the building. Oh, that's an extra charge.
Fair enough.
So I'm just, you know, saying from my personal experience in dealing with them, even over in Corral, we've had issues with the companies that we've used over there running into extra charges.
Councilmember Taylor.
You said that Riley had some ideas, so I'd like to hear what those ideas were.
Yeah. I don't know if he brought them with him, but he probably could.
Yeah, so parks and rec, you know, we talk a lot about the parks, but I think the rec is kind of a missing component here in the city of Ferndale. And to have people really value the parks, they've got to be active and engaged with their parks. So the plan that I've kind of rustled up is to have four events over the space of late spring to early fall where you would get people out and in our parks doing some sort of structured activity. So kind of a battle of the bands for the teenage folk, a bird watching walk along the Nooksack River with our Audubon Society, a run partnering with Superfeet, a lot of opportunities to bring in our community partners and do this, a family romp with like three-legged burlap sack races and stuff like that, things that get people moving, active, and engaged with their parks. And since I'm not coordinating the volunteers for Star Park next year, I would have a little time to do that.
Also, Riley's going to get some training on grant writing and include that component to those responsibilities as well.
So that's kind of my thoughts on that.
Well,
Councilmember Watson.
I guess my concern is I don't know how much money we're going to have next year is the issue I'm having. I want to make sure we have enough. We're going to hire someone. We need to have enough for two or three years. I'm not going to hire someone and not be able to pay them. I would like to see it be a supervisor if we're going to do it, though. So I'm wondering, is there a way to set aside some money? Because I think we're having two different discussions. We need a public works laborer. So we could have that discussion about having a public works laborer and then maybe save the park discussion for January or February, set aside a little bit of money and not spend it and see what the end of the year looks like.
That's always a possibility. I did want to, as far as a supervisor, if you remember from one of the past iterations of a possible parks, it would probably cost us about $10,000, if you will, to either take one of our parks laborers and promote him in this case to a supervisor, or for that matter, to actually, if we were to hire a supervisor, you could take the parks laborer position and then add 10,000. Either way, if you wanted to take this sheet and add in some supervisory, what you would need to do is add $10,000 and then possibly use $10,000 more of our current excess cash down the bottom.
But the downside of that is you're taking a person off the field who's working, who, until we get to a point when we have a park director, that person is actually out there working, improving the parks. They are being supervised by Public Works, by staff. And Councilmember Rosar, if the Parks Board or the Park and Trail Board wants a project, we've allocated money for them to do these projects. All they have to do is come to the administration and say, we think we have this project. What the administration wants to do is evaluate a project, make sure it doesn't have ongoing costs to the city. Certain types, like someone used the example of grills. Grills are a great idea, but there's ongoing maintenance to grills. And we need to factor that into the thing. So I think what we're suggesting, this may be an in-between step, that provides more activities, provides more events in the parks, but also provides more hours, a full-time person in the park who's supervised by Public Works and by staff. They're not free to do nothing. They can't be stolen and taken over the streets. That's not even legal to do that. They would be operating under the parks budget and having to, you've got one more full-time person working on parks. If you hire a director, you're not going to get a full-time person in the same way unless you suddenly have a lot more money.
And one of the other thoughts, too, and this will have to kind of play out, is that by giving the per tab some budget, maybe they could be tasked with organizing volunteers. I don't think you're going to get volunteers like every Tuesday this group's come down. Maybe you will. I've worked in other cities where we've actually had the local garden club, who is extremely active, take over some of the parks in the cities. I don't know. I've not heard of extremely large and active garden-type club in Ferndale, but there may be out there. But my thought was is that the per tab might be able to organize two or three or four volunteer efforts during the year to help. Maybe it's a springtime, let's go get those, let's go get the grass, you know, organization, or plant the bulbs in the fall organization, something like that. So the idea of bringing in volunteer groups, I think, would be beneficial. But volunteers need supervision. And, of course, if you're supervising, you're not working. That's why I was hopeful that maybe if the per tab was interested, they could add that layer of volunteer supervision while not taking away from either Public Works or the park workers themselves having to oversee these efforts of these well-meaning individuals, but perhaps, you know, someone that maybe does not know the difference between a weed and an emerging bulb.
And Councilmember Watson is correct. Budget is a consideration, and someday we hope to have the resources to do that. But this seems like gets you sort of halfway there, and with, I think, measurable results. And what I'd like to hear as the mayor and as the administration would like to hear is if there are things that are not being attended to in the parks that we're missing, by golly, tell us what's not being done that we could be doing. Especially with that third person coming on board. That's really all of our responsibilities. Councilmember Watson.
I guess I'm curious, too. We have a theoretically $165,000 if nothing changes, and this would be $100,000 if we didn't do any of the bank capacity. But we still need a zero-turn mower and the ATV gator and attachment. Those are the two things I know we need for sure. We need to replace the sign. I do want to talk about the Pioneer Pavilion. We're already past $100,000 right there. I guess, are people willing to raise property taxes? That's my discussion. I know we're not supposed to take little votes or whatever, but are people willing to talk about, because the only way we're going to pay for this and still do all the other things we need to do is if we raise property taxes. That's just the only way we're going to be able to make it happen.
That's the conclusion I came to, because when I put in all of this and the equipment for parks, it sucked all the oxygen insofar as it used up all the excess cash.
And you won't be able to pay for all this stuff either.
Right. I mean. So it really it resulted in all the other decision cards, just, you know, all the other current expense decision cards being null and void. And so I wanted to at least throw out the concept of mixing and matching some available cash bank capacity, which would allow you to then also deal with some of these other decisions. But there's no right answer insofar as only one way to do this. I wanted to give you the option so you can decide for your community what is the best way to go forward. No pressure.
The bank capacity.
Councilmember Goodrich.
Question of our finance director. Online sales, do we get sales tax from that? In other words, I order something from Amazon, does the city get it?
Yep.
I'm getting a head no and a head yes.
If it's delivered to you, Ferndale, you...
Not
yeah.
for on...
Destination.
Yes, it's destination. But if you go online and buy something from Amazon...
And if it's delivered to his house, we get
right,
sales
yeah.
tax.
Yes.
Indeed. Then we do get sales tax here.
Absolutely.
Okay, I know there's a big increase in online sales, and the brick-and-mortar stuff is going away, so I'm wondering, are we losing as much to Bellingham as we used to in sales tax because of the brick-and-mortar, or is the Amazons of the world increasing our sales tax revenue to here because we're not losing it to Bellingham?
In some way, Amazon's, I think, been around long enough for it to kind of... of course, it's getting bigger all the time.
We've been around for thousands of years.
Yeah. Sales tax revenues are not going down.
What?
Sales tax revenues are not going down.
Yeah.
Well, I just wondered if it was increasing because of not going to the brick-and-mortar stores. Because I know I don't go to the brick-and-mortar stores as much to buy things other than, Fred Meyer Market or something.
Right.
I'm doing a lot more online.
Yeah, we get a monthly sales tax report from the state that tells who pays the sales tax. So we could probably go back, and while we can't divulge numbers because it's proprietary, we can tell you whether we've seen an increase, drastic increase, a small increase.
Yeah, because I know our previous mayor used to say we lose 80% of our sales tax revenue to Bellingham.
Right.
Is it still 80%?
So, council, whether we go forward with a plan similar to the staff or go with the parks director, it will mean increase in revenues. That's fine. Okay. So we're just looking for direction from you folks. Councilmember Hanson.
So the $60,000 of bank capacity is about how much of our bank capacity?
It's something like 5.73.
It's
actually, it's like, on the pink, on the purple red? It's actually 56,000 something.
But that's all the old amount that's left over.
That's the
so-called
bank capacity before we joined the fire district. So it would be taking all of those 1% increases over the years that we never took.
Okay.
But this is 9.62 bank capacity. Is 100,000. It was on the first purple one she gave us. The first one.
A couple of days ago.
No. The last meeting. But it says assumptions.
Okay. Assumptions, yeah. And on the percent increase, it would be the 1%, because if you take 1%, we'll get 10,398.
Okay, so we're at the 5.8%.
And there, at 5%, it's like 5.73.
Remember,
there was also a sheet in there that showed the property tax. You saw that as well.
Yeah.
It also tells us what it would cost people.
Right.
And it compounds. So 1% is not. I mean, it just keeps going up and adds to it.
So, in a sense, in order to make this parks work, if we were to say a $200,000 house, charging them another $8.70.
Yeah.
No, $10.
About that.
About $10.
Okay.
We still need 38. Almost 40,000 to 47,000.
No, I understand. I'm just saying with this particular proposal, it's saying to take $60,000 worth of bank capacity, which is roughly $10 per $200,000 house. Okay, for parts.
Yeah, I used a lot of round numbers. So
sure.
We're talking pennies differences when it comes to the effect on
house. So, I guess what I would say to this is I'm sympathetic to Rebecca's concerns that this does not go, this does not do what she wanted. At the same time, I think it's a step in the right direction, and that for the cost in the tax increase to make this work, I think we get a good, we get, for a year, we get a really good sense of, is this heading in the right direction? You in a sense, you're putting Riley in a position at least 8 hours a week of kind of directing parks, in a sense.
A vestigial, parks.
Sure. But we also then get the, you know, increased attention, the love that we're looking for to the parks as well. In combination with bringing people down, seeing whether or not, you know, we really do have this level of interest in parks in Ferndale, or whether we're still kind of, you know, in the afterglow of the Star Park and the, you know, this huge community effort that we had, is that going to continue, or is that kind of a one-time thing? And I think that this proposal actually gets us, takes a step in the right direction, and will allow us to gather some more information about, I don't know, how much does Ferndale really love parks.
Like a lot of things, it moves the ball forward.
It moves the ball forward, not as far as we want, but I think that, you know, looking at the budget constraints that we have, I think it's a prudent and reasonable proposal, perhaps a little more aggressive than, you know, we're comfortable with, but at the same time, it certainly does send a message that we're serious about trying to move parks forward in Ferndale, something that hasn't existed for the last 15, 16 years, right? We've been kind of in a maintenance mode, status quo, with the exception of Star Park, and this starts to move things forward.
Councilman Rosar?
Okay, now that the vein has subsided a little bit.
I can feel it.
So I just want to comment that Greg's proposal here, his dollar amount is the same, very similar to my option two, which was to create a parks supervisor. That's pretty much the same, if not cheaper, than his cost of a laborer plus the public works labor and the parks labor together. So giving the supervisor position instead of the labor position and another public works person to throw in the mix. And that may be supervisor can pull weeds and can organize things and can do a lot of things. It's a new position. We can create that job description, so there's nothing to say they have to sit at a desk. I think as far as the budget goes and those dollar amounts, it's the same as my option two. You're just changing what you want to see out of it. And I think you had said maintenance is what we've seen. That's still all we're going to see is maintenance.
Agreed. However, we also get 8 hours a week of Riley's time.
Well, that was part of my option two as well. Was including
Riley. Was included?
Yeah.
I have a feeling I'm going to be doing something like this regardless of the budget decisions being made today.
Councilmember Watson and Councilmember Goodrich.
Quick question. So we're already planning on a 1% property tax increase with the numbers we have right now. So if we need to add 50,000 or 60,000, that would be in addition to that 1%, correct?
Right, that would be using the bank capacity.
Okay, but what I'm saying is right now you're planning on us giving you 1%.
Right.
But if you need the additional 5% to get your 50,000, you need us to do 6%, correct?
It would be a total of, what we would do is we would take the bank capacity and whatever that amount, and then on top of that, we're anticipating the statutory 1% for 2017.
Okay. I'm just trying to get a final number on this, because it's already 1% is already built into it, so if we want more, we're going to have to add to that 1%.
Councilman Goodrich.
I am just really kind of concerned with where the economy is going. And, you know, uncertainties, whether it's with the election tomorrow or if it's with the future of Cherry Point, if Alcoa shuts down and pulls out, what does that do to Ferndale and our economy and things? And we're talking about bringing on more people, bringing on supervisors and doing things, raising taxes. Well, I hate to be kind of Debbie Downer, but I just don't see a rosy future in the next few years. I think it's going to be very, you know, trying times. Are we going to see the residential growth that we've been seeing? If something happens out at Cherry Point, we start losing jobs in the county, what is that going to do to our housing market? You know, if our housing market starts tanking, like, you know, 2008 or even, you know, before that type of a thing, are we going to find ourselves in a year or so laying off all these people and doing things? We're in a tight budget. We've been in a tight budget for several years. And things, we're right on, kind of seem like we're right, every year we're just kind of right on the line of trying to, you know, keep things. And, you know, I'm just really concerned about that and bringing people on and raising the taxes and stuff to do things in this economy with the, all the uncertainties that are out there.
So, Council,
I'm not saying we don't need the parks people or the waivers and stuff like that or the police officers that we've talked about hiring and haven't or whatever, our left program, left one, you know, programs. I mean, we've been lucky that those guys have been healthy. If they turn unhealthy, you know, we're going to have to, you know, there'll be serious issues again to our budget.
I'm having a hard time discerning a direction. Maybe Councilmember Olson help out here.
Oh, I don't think you called the wrong guy.
We still want to hear from you.
Thank you. So were you just referring to taking the bank capacity with me when you were talking?
Yeah. So looking at the commission we got, if we were to take the, she said, Cirque said 5.8, roughly.
Okay. But you mentioned in a year that would tell us if we're headed in the right direction.
Well, what I mean by that.
Okay, good. I'll go ahead.
Okay, well, what I mean by that is that you know, if we have Riley doing programming, some recreation sorts of things in parks, and we have, you know, allocated some money set aside, we reinvigorated the Parks Trails Board, and you know, it gives us that year of, you know, injecting some money and attention and labor into the parks will give us a sense of whether or not we're headed in the right direction.
But we still have the tax increase continuing on in perpetuity.
Correct.
So, well, if we find it doesn't, then what? We just have a sudden windfall? A new slush fund?
You can lower taxes. Council can do that.
We can give back. Am I hearing that right?
You can give back a property tax increase.
You can lower the property rate.
Every year, we don't levy a rate like $2.10 per thousand. We levy a dollar amount. We can actually ask the county to collect less in year two than they did in year one.
And then does it go back into bank capacity?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That's interesting. I didn't know that.
Yeah, because I don't know if it ever happened.
Okay. Thanks for being on.
And it wouldn't either.
My other two points are, I mean, we've all talked about how we'd love this stuff. We're broke. It doesn't look like our big savior is going to drop down into Ferndale and alleviate all of our problems. How much money do we have in street repair?
Street maintenance?
Rhetorical question.
Yeah. The one we've zeroed out every year for 5 years.
Yeah. Years back, we actually augmented our baseline budget. I think we added $100,000.
Correct.
But then during the recession, we took that back away.
And that was 2008?
Probably 8.
Okay. Right, so we're going into 17.
Yeah.
And we still, do we do any street maintenance, filling cracks?
Oh, absolutely.
Where? I'm not seeing it.
Yeah.
So we did the
other
crack
than Main
seal.
Street.
Yeah, we did the crack seal program. Last year, we don't have one programmed in for this year, but we do have pavement preservation programs going forward.
And where did we hit with that? Main Street?
The crack seal program was primarily, that was right when I came on. So
I'm not blaming you.
I'm just saying it was right when I came, so I don't have the list of every location we did it in. But, yes, it was primarily Main Street was the location.
That's kind of what I'm getting. If you drive anywhere else but Main Street, we have cracks everywhere. We're pretty good with potholes, fixing that.
We're talking about portal tonight.
Yeah. We don't put money into that. Do we have money in this budget for the upcoming signal upgrades along Main Street?
The signal, that portion was the current effort we were doing in this year. But not. I don't have anything programmed.
Yeah, we budgeted money for the study, but your point is, have we budgeted next money?
I'm talking about buying the equipment.
And the answer probably is no.
No.
Okay.
Going back to streets, we actually have a roadway and street maintenance section within our street fund. And I can look in here. I can just see probably there's O&M supplies of $25,000, striping of $30,000, miscellaneous $5,000. So we probably spend $50,000 on just, you know.
Basics.
Basic, just filling potholes, filling the gravel on the side of the road. We have some people assigned to that, but mostly that's summer help because they go out and do some roadway work.
My point being in all this, we have so many other just maintenance things that we just wave off and don't get anything done. I mean, I'd like to have that too, but I just don't think we have the money for it yet. And I don't, when we're going to get it, I don't know.
Councilman Watson?
I guess I'm leaning in that same direction. If we're going to, I am amenable to raising the property taxes, but I would like to do it to add money to the street maintenance so that we can do crack sealing next year. Because that's the one thing I get the most emails about. It's like, have you seen my street? And I don't know if, I know you talked once about us trying to buy a machine. You thought it might be cheaper in the long run. But I don't know that we can afford to do that in 2017. Mm. But I don't, to talk about the parks, I don't want to do a property tax to pay for parks. I'm willing to do a property tax to help do street maintenance, but I don't want to raise property taxes just for to hire a parks worker.
Councilmember Olson.
We're going to find out tomorrow night if we're going to have another huge property increase for EMS. So I'm just reluctant to keep putting property taxes on people that are just trying to hold on to their houses.
And Bellingham keeps talking about they want property tax for the jail. That's how they want us to pay for it.
Well, being on that committee, that pretty well went in the toilet.
Oh,
they're
good.
Not very happy with it.
Oh, good. Okay, that's good. Bellingham in the toilet always makes me feel good.
The committee has voted that it will be sales tax, and right now they're working with the Bellingham. Bill doesn't like what this county likes. That's not our gig. They have to figure that out and bring it to us.
Okay, that does help the conversation.
It's not like we haven't tried to do parks. We put forth the thing and it got voted down. So, at a certain point, if the public doesn't want it, and then we go ahead and do it, it's like thumbing your nose at them, saying, well, we're going to do it anyway.
So,
go ahead.
I'm just counting noses. We can count noses in open sessions a little bit here. I sense a couple council members willing to consider the property tax increase for some type of of parks direction, director or the staff. I'm not sensing strength from the rest of the council. So I think that issue, at least in its current form, unless council can come up with a different way of doing this, are you communicating, set that aside for now, that decision card? So looking for direction from council because we have other things to do.
We're still going to talk about the public works laborer position.
Sure.
At the end of the day,
I hope we can still grab maybe $5,000 for that per cap board. I think that had value to it for them to do those small projects. And some of you who've been to those per tab meetings know that's pretty good money spent. So maybe we'll bring that back as a separate decision card.
I'd still like to talk about the contracting out for the Griffin Town and the Riverwalk, too. You know, if we had an idea how much that would cost, because I mean,
let's get that for you.
Yeah.
Greg, can we get something like some numbers?
How I came up with that number was I simply took the average. We pay a little bit more for, I forget which one. We pay a little bit more for either the police or the library. It doesn't matter. I kind of took the middle point, because I think one's $600 a month, one's $800 a month. So I think I took $700 a month and just did that for 12 months for each park, thinking that it probably wouldn't be more than that, because I think when you think about Griffintown, it's mowing, it's edging, but the police department is a lot more hand weeding and things like that. But yet the Riverwalk is much more hand orientated. So I figured one would offset the other. We won't know until we actually put together a pretty good scope and then actually bid it.
Finally, I want to thank council, and you guys, this is a tough thing. It's an important thing. It's tough to thank staff, too, for coming up with some ideas. It's not
dead
yet.
Thank Rebecca for pushing. I know it's not what you wanted. But
absolutely.
I just don't think we can make it happen this year.
And as I said, there might be components that we can maybe do now and maybe do some later, and if anything, it helped the conversation. I didn't want us to go through all the other decision cards and go, well,
we don't have enough for parks. I figured parks was such a big part of it that it would be useful to at least have a thorough discussion about it first before we went into the other.
That's a good discussion. We've got 15 minutes. Sirke, you're kind of leading the show here today. What's after parks?
So we're just focusing on current expense right now because we know we have approximately $160,000 to work with. So like I said, that's the main target, whether it's less or more. And just remember, it has that $100,000 that possibly could go into reserve, but I think last time you mentioned that maybe take that out. So I included that. My goal tonight is that we make some decisions in the current expense so we can move forward with, plugging numbers in. And the whole idea here, too, is even if you say yes, 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 I'll be plugging those into the budget, and we might come back and say this isn't going to work because of other things that have come up, as the year goes forward. So the first page is all current expense, and so that's what we're looking at. I think we have one of them that is already in the budget, the grant program, the CE3, the third one. So that's already in, and I think we're done with that.
Yeah, I would add, too, that talking with both the Public Works Director and the Community Development Director, when you look at, which one is that? That would be CE6. Mm-hmm. We actually had a presentation last week, and I'll let Yuri talk about it, but the bottom line is that we found something that's probably darn good, darn cheap, and we can fit it into this year's budget. So CE6 would go away. Is that fair?
Yeah, we think that between Public Works and Community Development, we have enough reserve in the current budget to afford it, and it's not a substantial recurring expense. It equates out to about $350 a year to just maintain those licenses. So we would remove CE6 at this point.
Good deal.
So number 14, I'm trying to, pull some things we have to get. The zero-turn mower, isn't the mower, we need the new mower, right? Isn't that a must?
Yeah. The in talking over those two pieces of equipment with Bo, we operate that zero turn mower goes around and mows the majority of the parks around. It's heavily used piece of equipment. And then the four wheel drive gator with attachments would replace the three wheel groomer that they use for grooming the baseball fields and prepping the fields at Conoco. So those were seen as two that were pretty important for the Parks Department. And ones that would assist in getting their job done.
Isn't the one they have now for the groomer, isn't that ancient? It's old.
It is. Okay. I don't know exactly what year it is, but, yeah, it's an old piece of equipment, and it's a dedicated, it just does that function. The gator can provide more functionality within the parks, and they can utilize that down at the whole complex and Star Park and around. Mm-hmm. So it has more utility than what the current three-wheel groomer does.
Can we agree that we'll do lease those two? And you could, Sirke, you could start keeping a little list, and when we could just start saying things we like, and then when we hit 100K, you make a stop?
That's one way to do it.
Those two pieces of equipment are pretty much exclusively for the parks. Yeah. So it would come out of that 160 that we're starting off with.
Yeah.
But yet on the last page, you probably realize that this is the prioritized list, if you will, from the Public Works Director. And
yeah.
You can see that his number one and number two is the four-wheel gator and the zero-turn mower.
Well, that's a little bit of confusion. I'd say, number one for those funding sources, yes.
Right, yeah.
Councilmember Goodrich.
I like some of the one-time cost items, too, that there's no reoccurring cost.
Website and
the website, the speed radar trailer. Let's see, what else was I looking at here? Your file conversion, get some of the paper stuff. Like I said, I'm just kind of worried about future things that we're going to do something now, and then we're going to have reoccurring costs in the future when we have those monies down the years to support those decisions? Or are we locking ourselves in now to a future budget saying, oh, we got this, we got reoccurring costs, so now that's monies that are gone out of next year's budget?
I'm not that keen on this radar trailer. Just, I mean, someone's got to maintain it, and someone's got to take it places. And it'd be a nice toy. I don't know if I want to spend $7,000 this year, given all the other things we have to buy.
I just was looking at that. Some of the things, like I said, I'm not really looking for something that's going to have reoccurring costs.
Can we just
going to take money out of future budgets?
How about like website updates? Is there one thing we should do the website? Okay, that's 61.5. What about the video equipment and software? Because I know that...
No. That's not on my priority.
It's not the top of my priority, but it's top half for me.
And a number of these things, I've always thought, as revenues perhaps go up. You know, I always come back and say, hey, look at the trend line. It's up. Revenue's up. People can bring these things back and say, we didn't have it in the budget, but could we? Can they come to council? Then you can amend the budget on some of these things.
Okay, you have $98,500 left.
I'd like to buy a mod. That's true. That's only $300.
Yeah.
Sure. Are we making changes? Going yes, yes?
We're seeing the data.
Okay.
We're looking at nodding.
CE1 is yes.
So I think yes for the web update.
We're coming back to CE2. Mm-hmm. The clerks. I think we should come back to the Arts Commission budget.
Yeah. But you're going to give Pertep $5,000. I'm just saying.
And the Arts Commission, like I said, would be happy with.
Actually, we could do $5,000 for each of them, just to be fair, if you wanted to do that.
So what are you're on CE4?
CE4.
Just a note on the video equipment and software, you might want to consider delaying that with the franchise agreements that we're working on. It is likely that through the franchise agreements, they will purchase some equipment for us.
I'm okay. Sure they would.
So that's going to be something
very good
that you could wait on.
Good. Check that out.
Yay.
So $5,000, reduce that $13,000 to $5,000.
What's that money going to be used for?
Yeah.
Matching funds, actually buy art. We'd actually like to go buy art for the city. Pieces of work, art.
For where?
We don't know.
I'm
just telling you, you can't have an arts commission with no funding. And so if you don't want to do funding, then I think we should just stop having an arts commission. And I do mean that seriously.
We're facing the same thing. We've had a Parks and Rec Board that had no budget for how many years. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying we don't give them any money. I'm just saying there is, there is a little bit of, how do I put this gently? There's a little disappointment in the public art that was purchased for Riverwalk. And so there's a little bit of
And those people have been off the Parks Board for 5 years. I understand.
There's a history of some less than enthusiastic purchases done by in public art, and it's why I keep asking, what are we buying? Where are we putting it? Because
it's also to do events like Art in the Park.
Oh, sure. And I'm the first one to say I love that stuff.
And also keep in mind it is an advisory board. Tim is per tab, so
Right. It's
not, we're not giving them a checkbook.
Yeah. It would be like, what they do with LTAC.
They still qualify for LTAC money.
Yes.
They do, yes. So and we can try and write more
in a limited
grants.
Way.
Yeah.
So, Council, for what it's worth, I've always been in favor of art, but I always thought it should be privately purchased. A lot of people like to do those types of things. I'd like to see the city provide the space for it and the opportunities for it, but I've always sort of felt that art's a lot like speech, kind of a personal, private matter. And as Councilmember Hansen is indicating, once you make a decision on art, you can find a lot of people that aren't going to like it. So I'd love to see the funding for the venue and the opportunities, but not necessarily the expression. So it's 5 minutes to the talk. Did we remember where we left off? We're having an extra meeting this week. I believe, Greg, you guys decided you wanted to get
Mondays.
Together again.
Monday.
Okay, not Monday.
After Monday?
Right,
okay.
Be off Monday. All right, that'll be next
committee week. Meeting Wednesdays.
Yeah, the next, this is the
Sunday. Not
it'll
this Wednesday.
It'll be Monday the 14th from 5:30 to 7:30, and we were going to hold it at City Hall.
Right.
Sound good?
Mm-hmm. We didn't get through many, did we?
A little 5-minute break.